We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
I was, many of you know, born in a small town in Mississippi called Pascagoula, right on the Gulf of Mexico. We lived, quite frankly, on a bayou that led right out into the Gulf. I was born into a family of commercial fishermen, my father, his father before him. My grandfather had spent so much time out on the water that he could look at the sky and smell the air and tell you what the weather was going to be. He could look at the water and know where the fish are. I can remember my brother and I as children fishing down near the beach, and my grandfather coming along and saying, "Eddie, if you'll move your fishing line right over here, you'll catch a fish." And you know, if that only happened one time, I might give him a hard time, but it was over and over. My dad was never happier than when he was standing at the wheel of a shrimp boat headed out onto the Gulf of Mexico. Legend has it that I was 2 weeks old the first time I went through the Horn Island Pass and out into the Gulf. You'll understand why I sometimes say I have salt water running through my veins, and why I seem to like things to do with the ocean and the beach, like neckties with palm trees on them. As an adult, I have been fortunate enough to travel a great deal of this wonderful nation of ours. And any time that I have visited a state with a coastline, I'll make a real effort to go over to the water to visit, either to go to a marina and to lust after the boats that are tied up there, or perhaps just go to the beach and look off where the water and the sky meet. It's a special trip, though, when I get an opportunity to go and see a lighthouse somewhere. Those are close to my heart. I've heard it said that there's no greater example of standing strong in life's storms than a lighthouse. I think that's appropriate. I think that there may not be a more altruistic endeavor of humanity than to build these lighthouses. Now, I have been fortunate enough to have seen a number of different lighthouses, from Maine to Key West and Seattle and San Diego and all across the Texas, the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico. But I do have a favorite. There we go. It's not very impressive, is it? It's called the Round Island Lighthouse. Round Island sits just off the coast of Pascagoula. You could almost swim there if you were dedicated. And you can't go in and out of the port of Pascagoula without passing Round Island. Now, this particular iteration of the Round Island Lighthouse, there's been one there since 1859 of one kind or another, just before I was born. This particular one was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina when it came through. It was taken down brick by brick and brought ashore and reassembled as a monument to all the sailors and seafarers that had come and gone from the port of Pascagoula. So this reminds me of home. When I look at this picture, I can smell the salt in the air. But it's more than just that. This particular lighthouse is a part of my own heritage. It's part of my own life, you see. When my grandfather would sail out from the port, headed out to the Gulf to go fishing, he would pass by the lighthouse there. And the man who was the lighthouse keeper, who took care of the light there, was a friend of my grandfather's. They had grown up together, and knowing my grandfather, I suspect there were a few fishing stories swapped and a lie or two back and forth between them. But he would stop there occasionally just to visit. Well, it seems that eventually the lighthouse keeper had an orphaned niece who was in her late teens but had nowhere else to go. So he allowed her to come and to live there at the lighthouse with him. And it seemed that shortly thereafter, my grandfather's visits to the Round Island Lighthouse became more frequent and more frequent until about 1918, that young niece became my future grandmother. So it's a part of my heritage to be around these lighthouses, and every time I see one, I remember family and I remember what the light means to those in the darkness. Now, there's no specific example anywhere in the scripture that Jesus ever mentioned lighthouses. But he did use references of light in talking about his ministry and in his kingdom over and over again. He said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." In Matthew, "We are the light of the world. Neither do people put a lamp under a light under a basket. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." One after another like that. Where Jesus described the kingdom of God as a light, and he called himself that one true light that had come into the world for all of us. Therefore, if we are to live Christ-filled lives, it would seem that we are to have that light of Christ, burning within us, extending out into this hurting world. See, the very first lighthouses were very simple, a fire built out on the rocks near the port or perhaps up on top of a hill so it could be seen from further away. But they were very simple. They're called internal lights because they have to be fed and they have to be maintained and they have to be taken care of. Like that internal light of Christ that burns in us has to be maintained. Has to be taken care of. You come to church every Sunday. You go to Sunday school. You're part of small groups. You get involved in your community. And by doing that, you feed that bedrock faith that lives within you. I've been fortunate in my life to have a number of people who exhibited that burning light of Christ. And then I've told you about some of them before. And Miss Liz and Miss Dodd and Miss Jewel and Mr. Wes and Chris. And my own mother is still an inspiration to me today. They're all people whose light burned so brightly that it made me want to have that in my life as well. To know that Christ lived within me. Today, lighthouses are much more sophisticated. GPS, satellite navigation systems, LED lights, and laser beams, and probably most importantly now, they have these big reflectors in there that send the light out piercing the darkness for miles so that it can be seen even further away, much like the moon reflects the light of the sun here on earth, bringing those sailors and those seafarers home safely. I've known people like that too. People who have dedicated themselves providing light to bring people to Christ. Will, Jay, Marty Verschel. People who have dedicated their lives to bringing people to Christ, to reflecting their lights out in the world as a beacon so that people can come home to Christ. They make all the difference in people's lives and how they live. Lights a path for so many of us. Final thing about lighthouses is they remind us of God's love. How God's love shines into this world. How God was willing to send His only Son here for us to act as that light, safety, and examples of love for all of us. And I see examples of God's love right here in this assemblage of saints. So many of you that are gathered here that reflect God's love. You, you, and you. That you make a difference in this world. You remind me that I'm not loved just by God, but by you as well. A short time ago, I found out that my path toward ordination as a United Methodist elder is going to be delayed. And a shadow crept over my life. I began to doubt my own ministry, my own calling from God. And you, the people of First United Methodist Church of Missouri City, circled around me and lifted me with God's love until I began to believe again. For that I'll be eternally grateful. The Texas Annual Conference, in all of their wonderful wisdom, has appointed me to be the pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sealy, beginning July 1. It's a wonderful, vibrant group of people, a great group of Christians. Wanda and I are excited about going into ministry with these people and in this wonderful community. The only problem is, to go there, we have to leave here. We'll leave here with heavy hearts. But you, the people of First United Methodist Church, have been so forgiving of my shortcomings, so supportive of my education. You've taught me to be a better pastor. And that's what's going to help me go to this new congregation of people. You know, there's one last thing about lighthouses that people don't often think about. They're designed to bring sailors home, to bring people home safely, but once you get ready to leave the port and to go back out onto the ocean, if you'll look back over your shoulder, that light is shining out and lighting a path for you as you go, setting a new course that's been laid out for you. That's what you've done for me. You've brought me in safely. You've wrapped me in love and in your arms. And now you've lit a path so that I can go back into this world. And it's my hope that I'm going to be able to become a lighthouse for this new group of people. It's my prayer for you as I prepare to leave, is that you might have this lighthouse in your life, that you might be able to find this light reflected so that you can find your path It's my prayer that you might take time to build that bedrock faith that lives within you, to keep that fire lit, that you will come to church, you'll go to Sunday school, that you will tithe, and that you will pray, because Christ wants to be that lighthouse for you. See, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That God's Son, Jesus Christ, has come to be that light for us. To light our path. To build us up from the inside. Because I believe that if we take care of that fire that burns within us, that we will soon become a lighthouse for someone else. These scriptures that we read from Matthew that talked about the light on the hill and the light under the bushel basket. Well, that particular section ends with verse 16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glory, give glory to your Father in heaven. I believe that if you will feed that fire, if you will follow Christ, that you will be a light that can bring somebody else to Christ as well. I guess that's what I would leave here asking of you. I would ask if you might be willing to be a lighthouse for someone else with your life. If you would be willing to allow others to see Christ living in with you. If you're willing to do that today, would you join me in a pledge, not to me, but to God, that you would do that? Would you repeat after me if you're willing to be a lighthouse? Today and throughout this year, I will be a lighthouse for Jesus, projecting His inner light and reflecting His light externally. Lord God, may your love and your light pierce the darkness of the world around me as I stand strong and faithful for you like a lighthouse today and through the years ahead. Amen.